Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the quarterly All-In Payments call. My name is Catherine Jett. I'm the TPM project coordinator and your moderator for today's call. Next slide, please. At this time, we'll go over a few logistics and housekeeping items. The call is being recorded and a transcript is being captured. The transcript, recap, audio, and PowerPoint presentation will all be available within a reasonable amount of time after the call today, and you'll receive notification via a Gov delivery message when it's posted. We're also going to have a very interactive Q&A session today. You're going to have access to your audio and video during our Q&A portion. And if you're joining via the Teams application during that time, we want you to raise your hand to ask a question, and we're going to give you access to your audio and video. The way you do that, you'll click the raise hand icon during that time, and we'll give you these instructions again when we get to that time. If you're joining via the phone, you'll press star 5 to raise your hand, and we'll unmute you, and you can unmute yourself by pressing star 6. If you have any questions today that weren't answered during our Q&A session, just send those questions to the EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. We have closed captioning available today for you. And to activate closed captions, click on the More at the top of the screen. Scroll down to Language and Speech, and then just activate Live Captions. Or we've also put a link into the chat for the closed captions. If you'll click on that, it'll open up the browser window and activate closed captions for you today. We'd like to thank everyone for your participation. Next slide, please. All right, we have a wonderful agenda prepared for you today. And to go over it now, we have the welcome and updates by Kimberly Cutler, the Ticket Operations Manager for TPM. We have a presentation by Nicole Black, our EM Payments Manager, where she's going to discuss ePay file stats, ePay reminders, the top 5 EN-related denials, the 18-month look-back tool, submitting documentation with payment request, resources. Then they're going to transition to our open Q&A forum, and then we'll have a closing and give an announcement for the next call date. So next slide, please. Well, it is my esteemed pleasure to introduce our Ticket Operations Manager for TPM, Kimberly Cutler. Kimberly, take it away.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Good afternoon, everyone. I just want to kind of echo what Catherine was saying. Welcome to today's quarterly all-in payments call. And so we've had some changes in TPM management. So at this time, what I would like to do is introduce you all to our new amazing EN Payments Manager. Her name is Nicole Black. Nicole has a strong background in project management and training. Some of you are already familiar with her great work because recently Nicole served as the EN Training and Activation Analyst, working with multiple ENs and state vocational rehabilitation agencies. And her leadership skills demonstrated while she was working in EN development training have already added a great value to the already amazing EN Payments team. So I just wanted to welcome her to you all. Like I said, some of you guys are familiar with her great work. So now she gets to do the great work for you guys on the EN Payments side. So welcome again, Nicole. And at this point, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you for your kind words. So I will just start by saying I have some huge shoes to fill, but not really filling them, shoes to walk alongside. Kim has been a great teacher, a great mentor, and I've learned so much in the few short months that I've been part of the payments team, and look forward to learning more and continuing to grow my already amazing team so that we can continue to serve you guys. So with that, next slide, let's go ahead and get into today's call. All right, we're going to start with the ePay file stats. So the last ePay file was completed in June of this year, and we processed a total of 16,643 claims with 4,683 SSNs that were paid. So this was $9,235,351. So that's amazing right there. And we will start processing the July ePay file next week. Next slide, please. So here are some ePay reminders for you guys. Remember, phase one, milestone four, phase two milestones, and outcomes are all paid via ePay. So ENs should not submit for these payment types via the portal without attaching earnings evidence while the EN portion of the ePay file is being processed. So submitting for such payments, it does slow down the processing and causes duplicate claim months. So if you submit a request for phase one, milestone four, phase two milestones, or outcomes without attaching the earnings evidence during ePay, that SSN will not be processed until it comes up on the ePay list. So what that means for you is it may take up to 30 days in order to get that payment processed if you submit it. So some additional reminders is that the ENs must submit payment requests for phase one milestones one through three through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. So proof of relationship, as you guys all know, it's either a pay stub or the proof of relationship form. And proof of relationship must be faxed in at the same time as the request. There is no delay with that. So you have 24 hours to get that in. You do not have the 9 days to submit that proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay, and ENs must have passed their annual services and supports review. And another reminder is that the ePay file is processed in order of Social Security number, not by provider ID or the PID. And then the initial, if you have, as an employment network, if you have an initial PII violation, this will remove you from the ePay file for 3 months or one full ePay file cycle. So during this time, you must submit each and every payment request via the ticket portal. So for example, if an EN violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, so let's say for May, obviously you won't have any implications during that May time period, but you'll have to deal with that PII violation then, but then you would be removed from the next file, which starts in July. So always allow for TPM to pay all available claims via ePay before requesting those claims via the portal. All right, so now we're going to go on to the denial codes. The first one is denial code 30, and these are the top five EN-related denial codes over the past quarter. So denial code 30 means payments must be made in order. So this code indicates that an EN has submitted a request for a payment before prior available payments were made or processed to completion. So a best practice for you is, since phase one and phase two payments must be requested and processed in order, ENs are encouraged to keep track of these payment requests they submit and then the payments they receive on behalf of the ticket holder. It is particularly important to check the status of the last payment in the portal when requested and submitted to see if it's been processed, denied, or pending. So you can always check the payments made available to, or made to me, that's available 24 hours a day. The second denial code is denial code 15, no response to requests for documentation. So this means the denial code is used when an EN failed to respond to or request that requested additional documentation after they submitted for their payment. So a best practice here is when TPM receives a request for payment that does not include all of the required documentation or information, the request is placed in diary and the payments help desk is going to send an email to the person designated as the EN payment contact. So you want to make sure all of your information is up to date at all times with TPM as it relates to your payment contact. So when this happens, you are given 9 business days to respond to the request. If we do not receive that requested information within 9 business days, TPM will deny that payment request. Number three is denial code 10. So what this one is, earnings amounts don't meet the criteria for the payment. So this denial reason is used when the ticket holder's earnings do not meet SGA or substantial gainful activity to qualify for the payment. So those reasons include the EN submitted evidence of earnings for a phase two milestone or an outcome payment that was below SGA, or the evidence of earnings in Social Security system is below SGA. So a tip here is to make sure all available sources of earnings information are available to you prior to submitting for any payment. And you want to make sure that the earnings criteria has been met for when that payment was in effect during the month and year of what's being requested. Denial reason number four is number four. earnings do not meet phase one milestone criteria. So this code is only used for phase one milestone requests, and it indicates that the information the EN submitted or the ticket holder's earnings records that are available to Social Security did not show the required trial work level earnings within the required time frame. So best practice is for the ENs to make sure that the ticket holder had gross earnings at trial work level prior to submitting for phase one milestones. And for phase one milestones 2, 3, and 4, ENs should check that the number of required months of trial work level earnings is met and that those earnings occurred within the designated time frame. So a good best practice is to always have your payments at a glance, like within arm's reach, so that you can grab it and you can see and you can keep up with what those designated time frames are to qualify for that payment. And number 5 is denial code 44. Proof of relationship not received. So this one means this code has, it indicates that the proof of relationship documentation was not submitted. And so that would be the pay stubs or a completed proof of relationship form. So a best practice is when requesting payments, when requesting payments for phase one milestones 1 through 3, the ENs must submit that proof of relationship. Pay stubs are just the gold standard because that takes care of everything. You get your earnings plus your proof of relationship. But if you are not able to get those stubs, the proof of relationship form is vital. So the proof of relationship must be submitted at the same time as you submit those payment requests. You do not have 9 business days. You have 24 hours to get that information in so that we can process your payment request. All right, so now we're going to have a lot of fun. We are transitioning to the 18-month look-back tool, and we have some examples for you guys. Before I jump into these samples or these examples, what I want to share is the 18-month look-back tool is probably underutilized. And when you are completing your 18-month look-back tool, it's literally a barometer check for you to give you an idea of what may or may not be available to you. But keep in mind that every time you submit for a phase one payment, the payment team is going to do their own 18-month look-back tool to verify all the information. So the purpose of you doing it is so that you know what your starting point is. Another key thing is if you do not have the actual date of disability onset, please don't try to guess. The 18-month look-back tool is only as good as the information that is placed into it. So when we go through these samples, it will give you different reasons, you know, things to look for and to see how different scenarios can impact your phase one milestone payments. So with this one, we are looking at a successful VR closure. So this ticket assignment date was January 2023, and the VR closure date was November 2021. So you can see here in two different areas that you're not able to request, where you're not eligible for any phase one milestones in this scenario. You have the pretty red up top, and then in the lower left, there's another box that will also let you know if it is meeting the criteria to be eligible for payment. So there's two locations that you can look at here. Next slide, please. In the second example, we're looking at prior earnings. So with the 18-month look-back tool, the 18-month look-back begins the month prior to the first ticket assignment date by an employment network. So if there are multiple assignments, the 18-month look-back tool starts with the month prior to that first ticket assignment date. And that's up to 18 months prior to that ticket assignment date. So if earnings exist within this time frame at or above trial work level, any or all phase one milestones may not be due to the employment networks. So as earnings are entered, the tool will update to display milestone availability based on the 18-month look-back earnings exclusions. So here is an example with prior earnings scenario. The ticket assignment date is November 2022. You see that's entered in. And the date of disability onset is May 2015. So earnings did exist above trial work level for the months of May 2021 through August 2022. And so each month that is marked, it does represent earnings above trial work level. And if you notice, those are marked with an X. You want to make sure you're not putting anything other than an X in the boxes to indicate that the earnings are above trial work level. So based on this example, with the date of disability onset and when the ticket was assigned, phase one milestones 3 and 4 are not payable. You can see by the red and green up top and the yes and no in the box on the lower left. Next slide, please. All right, in this example, we're going to look at the date of disability onset and how it can impact your phase one milestone payments. So the initial date Social Security determines the ticket holder to be disabled is key. You have to make sure you are looking at the date that Social Security deems that ticket holder to be disabled, not the date the ticket holder feels like they've been disabled. So this date is significant because any months prior to the date of disability onset are not counted in the 18-month look back. So if date of disability onset is within the 18-month look back period, the look back does stop at the month of disability, the date of disability onset. So here we go with this example. Ticket assignment date, November 2022, and the date of disability onset is May 2022. There are earnings, however, that exist above trial work level for the months of May 2021 to October 2022. So each month that is marked with an X does represent the earnings above trial work level, and the earnings in the month in the months prior to the date of disability onset don't count. So you can see how you have green up there for milestones 3 and 4. So only the months after the date of disability onset count. That's why phase one milestones 1 and 2 are not payable. Next slide. All right, so now we're going to talk about something that we covered in the April call. So just as a refresher or a reminder, when submitting documentation with payment requests, you want to make sure that you're selecting the correct document type. Not doing so can slow down the processing of your payment. So when you're entering a claim and you do not have the pay stubs and you're submitting a POR, make sure that you're submitting the POR, proof of relationship form, not the pay stub option. So if you're submitting a claim and it has multiple document types that you're submitting with it, you will need to go in and submit and generate a fax cover sheet for each different type of document that you're submitting. So you should submit the claim when earnings are already proven and then go to the list of pending payments to me and then go to the actions menu. You're going to get the additional fax cover pages when you choose one of the options below. Next slide. All right. Another thing that you can look at is, well, it's come to our attention is for the payments already made to me, that some portal users have been unchecking include denials. This is currently not working properly and users are asked to keep the box checked until SSA can fix this issue. You can use the filter options in Excel when you download your reports to help you out there. And if you need help with filtering, please contact the EN Systems Help Desk at ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Next slide. So any topics that you all want to learn about, please, please, please share that information with us. This call isn't about what we think you should know. It's about what you feel like you should know and how we can help you learn and grow as an employment network as it relates to payments. So please send your topics to EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And then we do have some resources available for you guys. Obviously the phones, which are available Monday through Friday from 9 to 5 Eastern. We do have our toll-free number available to you, and you're going to have option 1 for the beneficiary help desk. Option 2 is the payments help desk, and option 3 is systems help. Or you can email us for payment issues, again, at enpaymentshelpdesk@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And then for questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website and the ticket portal, you can send an email to ensystemshelp@yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Now it's time for Q&A. So before I hand it over to Catherine, those of you who have worked with me know how I feel. If you have something you want to say or know, please raise your hand, come off of mute and ask your question, because I promise you someone else has the exact same question. All right, Catherine, I'm turning it back over to you.
All right. Thank you, Nicole, for those informative updates. Very much information. At this time, if you would, next slide, please. We'll go over the logistics for the Q&A. If you would, if you're joining via the MS Teams application, just click the raise hand icon and We will call on you. You'll have access to your audio and video. You'll need to unmute yourself and then ask your question. Now, if you're via the phone, press star 5. You'll be unmuted, and then you'll need to press star 6 to unmute yourself. This time, I'll call on Rebecca, our facilitator, to identify anyone with raised hands. Rebecca?
Yes, thank you, Catherine. Our first question is coming from John Shepherd. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you like, and ask your question.
Hi, John. If you would, just go ahead and unmute and ask your question, sir. It's the mic at the very top of your screen. Just click that. Okay, Rebecca, let's go with the next one, please.
Okay, sure. Our next question we have from Mary Lynn. And your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you like and ask your question.
Well, thank you. This is Mary Lynn from the American Dream Employment Network. I want to certainly say we appreciate having these calls, but I do have a question. I apologize, I put it in the chat also, but we did submit a request to the help desk in regards to an update with the ticket portal. The specific problem being that when you download your payments made to the EN, it does not recognize the filtering of the date range. It's defaulting to the download being a year's worth of payment decisions. And I understand you were working on that, but is there any update you can provide as to the status of that being corrected?
Hi, this is Katie Strabinger from SSA. We are still working on the issue, and we'll let you know as soon as it's corrected.
Okay, well, that's just good news that we're going to at least see it at some point, and you're not just not going to be able to provide that feature. So we're glad to hear that. So thank you.
No, it is just something that isn't working correctly that we need to get fixed. So yeah, we're working on it. That All was right. The information in the slide. So we have a workaround for you temporarily until we can get it fixed.
Well, actually, it's not exactly what was in the slide, but I'm just going to trust that you'll get fixing that date range. But thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary Lynn. And Rebecca, do we have anyone else with their hands raised?
Yes, we do. I don't see them anymore. So we're going to move on to our next question, which is coming from Lori Popejoy. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you like and ask your question.
Thank you. This is Lori Popejoy. You got that right, so thank you. Mine is more of a procedural, and it's probably somewhat silly, but if I have a combination in a payment request of both the work number and payroll or earnings information, do I start as far as when I'm selecting the fax covers with a payment request and then place the payroll information, or excuse me, the earnings statements behind that, and then do one for the work number and place the work number report behind that? I'm not quite certain what is the best way to do this.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that question. And what you said is perfect. You will generate the fax cover sheet for your first set of documentation and then go in and generate the second or third fax cover sheet for the remaining documentation and then stack them and then send the fax in. So that the goal is to have a fax cover sheet to serve as a differentiator for us to know that it's a new set of documents with a new cover or type of documentation to come in.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lori. And Rebecca, do we have our next participant with a question?
Yes, our next question is coming from Jennifer. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you like and ask your question.
Hi, this is Jenny Sandheinrich. I work with ALSIP Employment Services. Appreciate the call. Thank you for having me. Wanted to ask, in a recent blog, avoid overpayments with prompt wage reporting. Wondering, you know, got us thinking if there's a missed opportunity here where we can help submit pay stubs or information that you need online via the portal. It's my understanding that that's not currently something that's available to us. but definitely something I'm, you know, that we're interested in doing to help get you the information quickly and efficiently.
Okay, so thank you, Jennifer. I want to make sure I heard the question properly. So you're saying to avoid overpayments, we need to have the income reported in a timely fashion, and you're asking if submitting payment requests helps with that process.
That's right. Yes. We're okay. looking, instead of faxing, using the fax method, if there's a way to A, submit information, the EOE, the pay stubs, proof of relationship, any information that you're requesting via the portal instead of actually faxing it.
So I have two responses to that. So the best way, obviously, is with the ticket holders. And there is a way, if they set up their MySSA account, where they can submit their own income documentation, where it will eliminate the need to fax, but they have to do it within a certain time frame at the beginning of each month in order for that information to be captured. However, if that does not happen, unfortunately, the way the portal is set up, you can request your payments through there, but due to the nature of PII and getting the information to us in a secure fashion, it does need to continue to be faxed in.
Okay, so is that something maybe for consideration down the road to, if it's a secure, I mean, we have secure sign-ins, we have secure uploads, or we're able to get information from your portal securely. If it's a two-way, is that something maybe for consideration down the road?
I will have to defer to either Katie or there's Katie.
Hi. No, unfortunately, the way the security is set up on the ticket portal, we don't have the ability to upload documents. That was one of the key pieces. That is not allowed. The functionality is not possible at this time with the way it's set up. The security of the portal, you know, the only thing you can upload, if you realize, is a CSV file. And we have, you know, things in place to make it so that threatening information can't get sent over, but we cannot allow the upload of images. So at this time, based on the security and the way things are set up, it's not an option. You're talking about, like, instead of faxing the image, you wanted to just be able to, like, upload a PDF, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. At this point, the security won't allow us to do that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Katie.
But to say, I know we on our side are always trying to think of better ways to do something, but, you know, we are kind of, there are a lot of limitations. So, but thank you for the suggestion.
Thank you for your question, Jennifer. And at this time, Rebecca, do we have anyone else with their hands raised?
Yes, we do. We have Squeakstone. Your audio and video are active. Please click your microphone to unmute and activate video if you like and ask your question.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, my name is Squeakstone. I'm with America Works. And I put something in the chat, so I apologize. It's just a little complicated and I just need guidance. I have a client who had a Social Security fraud happen, and I've worked with them and their local Social Security office, and it has been rectified. They are coming into their last bit of grace period, and they're entering into cessation. Unfortunately, the portal is only reflecting the fraud. It's showing that they worked 21 months as opposed to almost 9, 10, 11 months. I have called their local Social Security office with the ticket holder. I have called the 800 number with the ticket holder. I've called the helpline, the billing helpline with the ticket holder. And I've also reached out to the AWIC in their region. And no one can sort of help me figure out how to resolve the portal issue, because right now the portal isn't showing what Social Security is seeing. So we're still not able to bill on this person. Any ideas on what I could do?
So I am going to defer. Dang, go Katie.
I was just going to say, have you reached out to our, EM Payments Help Desk? You would need to send screenshots without PII in it, obviously. But have you reached out?
Because
We can't really do much without some screenshots of what you're
I reached out to the EN Payment Help Desk. They said that they only see what's on the portal, the same as what I'm seeing. They don't see the corrections that Social Security has made. And that might just mean that it's documentation. but they're showing, you know, from their records, I've spoken to them on the phone and they said, oh, no, yeah, we see and we know that this letter is going to go out that's going to talk about their cessation period. It's ready to be mailed. But the portal is still showing that they've got 21 months of SGA, which they never did. So
are you seeing that in the portal that they have 21 months? If you could reach out or if someone from the help desk could escalate to me, I'd, you know, like to take a look.
That would be great. I mean, if somebody could help me, I'm just really, I mean, I'd love some assistance to figure out what's going on.
This sounds like a very specific request that, you know, we can help you out with. So yeah, if you could just reach back out to the help desk.
Okay, thank you.
But you know, the ticket portal does get us information, just to be clear on the call to everyone. It, you know, it pulls from SSA systems. It doesn't have its own database, you know, that's a copy or, you know, something that needs to get updated. We pull directly from SSA systems. So if you're seeing something in the portal, then it is seeing that in an SSA system, but, you know, we try really hard to help with specific cases. So please, you know, reach out to the help desk.
Thank you, Katie. Catherine, at this time, we have no further questions. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Squeak, for your question. At this time, we'll go to the chat and we'll call on Esther Cerna. Do we have any questions in the chat, Esther?
I try to reply most of the questions. No, at this time, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Thank you, Esther. We would like to remind everyone, if you do have a question and you'd like to ask it, please just click the raise hand icon. We'll call on you. I see we have someone right now. Rebecca?
Yes, we have caller 8897. You are unmuted. Please press *6 to unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Go ahead and ask your question. We can hear you.
Hi, this is Trina Piazza with Ticket to Work Services. I just have a question about the portal and entering earnings. It doesn't appear that we can just key in earnings anymore. We have to like use the calendar. And I find that's more time consuming. We just can't go in and type in 06/07/2023. Is that something that can be fixed back to what we were allowed to actually key it in with the keyboard?
We're looking into it. We did see the comments in the chat and we're going to look into it. But the change, most recent change to the portal made it 508 compliant. So, you know, please don't get too attached to, you know, your hope that we'll be able to modify it. You know, we are constantly keeping the ticket portal in compliance with all the requirements we have as an agency. But we did get everyone's comments and we're going to go check.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And Rebecca, I see we have someone else.
I'm off mute, right?
I don't see it on my end. Oh, now I do. Yes, our next question is from Gloria Freeney. Your audio and video are active, and please click, I'm sorry about that. Your audio and video are active, and click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you like and ask your question. Gloria?
Hi, Glory. Just click the microphone up at the top of the screen. That'll unmute you real quick. You're unmuted now by us. There okay. You go. There you go.
I didn't want to show my head. Okay. Okay, I have a question. I'm with Freeney Rehabilitative Career Services here in Texas. And I have two consumers that's coming up to the end of their age. Right now, they're still incurring pay, and they have been over the SBA. But their ages, what is the cutoff ages for them? Is it 64, 65?
Oh my God.
I think your question, Gloria, was, Gloria, just one moment, please.
Okay.
Thank you. There we go. Was the age of the consumer? What's the cutoff age of the age of the consumer? Mm-hmm.
Correct. So, Ms. Gloria, the cutoff age is 65 to assign the ticket, and a ticket holder can use their ticket until they reach full retirement age. Did that answer your question, Ms. Gloria? You can give us a thumbs up if you'd like.
All right.
Okay.
There's a bad echo in the background. We'll see.
I'm sorry.
That's no problem.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. You're good now. Go ahead.
Now, you said the age is at 65. So with all the over the SGA from they from what they've been over SDA prior before their ticket expired at age 65, do we still get those payments once it expired, once they do with the ticket to work?
You will get paid based on the services you provide while the ticket is assigned to you. So up until ticket assignment date, if you have the proper documentation that you can submit to validate that your work with this individual, then you right. can still request payments.
Yeah, because see, I'm not able to get outcome because they still in current pay, but they will be, their age will be coming up next year, February and March. I got two that's coming up, February and March, and I can't get payment because they are still in current pay, but they owe a SGA. So I'm thinking, so okay, when they hit 65, then their ticket be terminated, then, you know, would I still get those payments? No.
So I want to defer to Kim because this is a little bit more complex. So Kim?
Yes.
Okay, hi. So, hi, Gloria. So hi. My understanding, and I'm okay with someone from SSA jumping in, but once a ticket is terminated, then yes, that will stop your payments. But because there's a difference, right? If the ticket is unassigned, by the beneficiary, then, you know, you're eligible to receive payment up until, you know, that unassignment date, ticket unassignment date. But when a ticket terminates, there are no more payments. And I know what you're saying is unfortunate, because if I'm clear, it's because they're over SGA now, but they're still in current pay. Yeah, right. So, yeah. And I think once the ticket terminates, then the payments stop. So unfortunately, you know, if it terminates, like you said, in March, because they age out of the program and they never update, the system never updates, then those payments are off the table. But I would encourage you to reach out or have your client. So if we know that your client, you know, they're making SGA, so their benefits should be in suspense. I think that's the concern that you have. Then make sure they're reaching out to their field officer, because, of course, we operate under real time. So we have to operate what's in the system. And if the system shows, you know, current pay, then that's the rule that we follow. But have them definitely reach out to their field offices to make sure, like, hey, you know, I'm well over SGA. I don't think I should be receiving my benefits, my federal cash benefits. So definitely have them reach out, because it's going to help the ticket holder as well. Because if they are receiving these payments and they should not, right, we don't want to put the ticket holders in an overpayment status. So please make sure they reach out.
Okay.
Make sure they're not an overpayment, and just, you know, see where they are with updating the record, making sure they have all the information they need at the at the field office.
Okay. All righty. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you, welcome. Gloria.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Rebecca, our next participant with a question.
Yes, our next question is coming from Walking Me Long. Your audio and video are active, and please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you like, and ask your question.
So my question is, we are I'm with CareerSource Escarosa, and we are a new EN provider going through the training process, and we have been stuck at submitting our suitability documents to the dchr.ope suitability email address. We keep getting a kickback whenever we submit the documents, and it's telling us that it's recognizing our information as spam. I've reached out to that email address. I've reached out to the EN help desk and the regular EN email, and have not been able to get any guidance. And I was just trying to see if anyone else have dealt with this and they figure out a solution, or if anyone can point me in a direction of some help.
Thank you for that question. So as it relates to the emails that you're doing, you're doing all the right things. Have you called the 1-800 number for DCHR?
What is that, the CPOC? It's another number on the website. Yes, they handle suitability and the EQIP, and they couldn't help either.
I will defer to SSA because this is something that is handled by a third party. When it comes to the suitability, that's not handled by TPM.
Okay.
This is Kimberly. As we wait for SSA, if they have guidance, I just want to ask you, did you say that you sent an email to enservice@ssa.gov to see if they can help
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did. Okay. All right. So I know we asked. Oh, there's the smiling face.
Okay. I'm not the best person to answer this question. I was just going to say, you know, we'll make sure we get it to the correct help desk here at SSA. But if you've already emailed EN Service, then your email's on the right path.
So do I need to email them again or?
No, you shouldn't need to. Suitability is done. You know, it's not something our unit does. So, mm-hmm. you know, we have to reach out to another unit. And it looks like no one from SSA here that could talk about the turnaround time, but I'm sure your request has been nudged, but you can always send a follow-up, but if we have your request, then you should be
okay. Sent. Okay.
It never hurts to send a follow-up though. I will.
I will definitely do that. Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Fingers crossed.
Thank you very much for your question. Thank you, Katie. Rebecca, our next participant with a question.
Yes. Our next question is coming from Lauren Womack. Your audio and video are active, and please click your microphone to unmute and activate video if you like to ask your question.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
This is not pertaining exactly to payments, but we were denied for our work away from home, and it said it was because that we didn't turn in our forms, but we did, and I turned them in again. And I asked them to reconsider, and that was like a month ago. And I haven't heard anything back from anyone. And I'm finding it's a lot longer to get some money from EN Service to respond to my emails. And I don't really know what to do if it's been a lot of time and I haven't heard back.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you for your question. So in this situation, I recommend emailing EN Service again. And this is just to get to, as Katie just said, to continue to nudge and follow up and, you know, put however many requests this has been, second, third request to,
hello.
You know, see, to request an appeal hi. For a work from home request. That is the next step, unless Katie has anything else that she can add to that.
Yeah. Can you repeat your name and your EN name also so we can make sure we have it? Or just put it in the chat so we have it. I just want to make sure that we.
I think that was Lauren. Is it Lauren Womack?
That's correct. Lauren Womack. Okay. All right. Rebecca, do we have anyone else with their hands raised?
No, Catherine. At this time, we have no more questions.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and reach out and see if anyone else. Pardon me?
I'm sorry. I dropped my call. It kicked me out. I'm back.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Hey, go ahead.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Do you have anything to follow up with? Any other questions that you have? What SSA reached out and advised you to put your name and information into the chat?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Not your phone number, just your name and EN name. Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Anyone else with a question, we'd advise you to go ahead and raise your hand. We've got a couple minutes left if anyone else has a quick question.
Catherine, we have one more question that came in from ADWLLC. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone and mute and activate video if you like and ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes. Hi. So again, I'm not sure, like the last caller, not sure if the EN payments call is the right place for this, but it does have to do with the ongoing support phase. So when ticket holders are in phase two or outcome payments. So the EN guide for working with ticket holders and the updated ticket holder engagement policy that was sent out earlier this year state that in the ongoing support phase, an EN shall make a minimum of 3 attempts in a 3-month period to establish two-way contact with the ticket holder. Now, in looking at the current RFA that's available online, it is stated in the current RFA that the requirements are actually 3 attempts in a 1-month period during the ongoing support phase. And so I'm just looking for clarification if that's a change, if it's a typo, if the EN guide is going to be updated, and also just to kind of express that trying to contact people who are in the outcome phase of the program, 3 attempts in a 1-month period seems like a lot. that's all I got.
Thank you for your question. So with this specific question, you would need to direct that to Program Integrity. Okay. If you do not have that email address, hopefully someone can drop that in the chat for you.
I got it. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Yeah, Program Integrity would be who would be responsible for answering that question as it relates to ticket holder interaction and to make sure that you remain compliant.
Perfect. Like I said, wasn't sure if this was the best place, but since it regarded the ongoing support phase, figured I'd try. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Hi. Can I also add that when you email Program Integrity, you should also CC EN Service?
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Will do.
Thanks, Renee.
Thank you. We have room for one more question. If anyone would like to raise their hand and ask a question, just click the raised hand icon. We have enough for one more question. All right. Well, I would like to say thank you, everyone, on behalf of TPM and SSA. It's been a great interactive session. Our next meeting date is October 31st from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. And again, thank you for your participation today, and we'll see you on that date.
Thank you, Catherine.
Hey, you're welcome, Nicole. Great job.
Thanks.
This concludes the All-In Payments call. Thank you very much.